Welcome to Ancient Future Faith with Dr. Chris Alford, pastor of Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community in Sacramento. Just what is ancient future Christian faith? Join Chris each week as he talks with special guests about a refreshing renewal in evangelical worship and spirituality that's helping many believers get in touch with their ancient Christian heritage. Now, with another look at how the road to the evangelical future runs through the ancient past, here's Dr. Chris Alford.
Well, hey there, everybody, and welcome back to another edition of Ancient Future Faith. My name is Chris Alford, and I'm one of the pastors at Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community, a church in Sacramento, California. And by the way, if you want more information about Epiclesis, we always love to send people over to the website. That address is epiclesis.org, E-P-I-C-L-E-S-I-S.org. You'll notice that I said one of the pastors at Epiclesis because today in the Ancient Future Faith studios, we have not one, not two, but all three of us pastors from Epiclesis with Dr. Rick Ashey and Dr. Ellen Kohler. Hi, guys, and welcome.
Hi, Chris.
Hey, Chris. How you doing?
I'm great, and I'm so glad to have you here on this sunny day. It's good to be talking about something that's upcoming, and that is Lent. What a big topic, guys.
Lent is a big topic. It's an interesting topic, and I think it's one that we don't pay nearly enough attention to.
You know, Lent is something that I guess most Christians have heard of, perhaps at least somewhere along the way they've heard the word. But Pastor Rick, not all Christians observe Lent, right? Increasing numbers are, but I think that's one of the reasons we wanted to talk about it a little bit, at least in general terms today, yeah?
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's a growing interest. I know for myself personally, it wasn't until 5 years ago that I really began to explore Lent as a part of my discipline and preparation for Easter and for Holy Week.
So I can't remember exactly what your upbringing was. You grew up evangelical church. I don't remember the denomination, but whatever it was, it wasn't one that celebrated or observed Lent, correct?
Correct. Yeah. We celebrated Christmas and Easter as moments or events rather than seasons. And So this has been a fascinating exploration for myself and my family over the years to begin to stretch out the time and to spend more time, if you will, marinating in the themes and the discipline that is called for.
I love the term marinating anyway, because it reminds me of food, which is always a favorite topic. But we should say that what Pastor Rick is referring to is a series of seasons. And so observing a series of seasons as the whole Christian year is something we do at Epiclesis. Pastor Ellen, give us just sort of a quick overview of what that whole thing looks like, and then we'll zero in on Lent itself and talk about some basics.
Well, the liturgical year is, as Rick was saying, a series of seasons, and I do also love that he said it gives us time to marinate.
Yeah, that's a good word.
In the seasons and what they're really about. So the first season in the liturgical year is Advent, 4 Sundays leading up to Christmas when we celebrate the incarnation of Christ. That's about 2 weeks in the season of Christmastide. And then we have the season of Epiphany that's anywhere from between 4 and 9 Sundays.
Which is where we are just right at the moment, by the way.
Right, we're right in the middle of Epiphany right now when we look at the person and work of Christ, mm-hmm. what he did as the incarnate Word of God, the light of the world, come to show us the Father.
Lent comes next, which we'll get to in just a minute with Pastor Rick, but then comes immediately after Lent, Eastertide. Well, Holy Week, I think, even though it is considered part of Lent, I sort of think of that as a separate mm-hmm. thing. The great triduum of services in and around Resurrection Sunday. And then a whole season of Easter, right, Ellen?
Right, the whole season of Eastertide, as we call it. It's about 6 weeks, 6 Sundays in the season of Easter, followed by the day of Pentecost when we celebrate, after Christ's ascension, the coming of the Holy Spirit. And then we look at the work of the Holy Spirit in and through the body of Christ here on earth. And that's the longest season of the church year.
Which takes us all the way back around to the beginning of a new Christian year, the season of Advent. So that's folks, right. If you were to come to Epiclesis Church, and you'd probably have to spend several months with us, which we'd love you to do, by the way, to get a sense of how this flows along. And it's a new way, but actually very ancient way, of ordering your steps and marking your time according to God's saving acts and deeds and biblical precepts and themes, rather than, say, the civil calendar or something like that. Pastor Rick, we said we were going to focus on Lent just a little bit. Give us just some Lent basics, would you? And then let's maybe crack open a couple of ideas about how folks might start observing Lent.
Yeah, Lent begins with Ash Wednesday. You know, we gather, that kind of begins the rhythm of the season. And then followed from there is 6 weeks, 40 days, and you don't include the Sundays. The ancient church took Sundays as a rest from the intense discipleship and preparation. And that leads you into Holy Week, Palm Sunday, and then into Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, and then Easter Sunday.
Sometimes people ask, so if Lent is 40 days, I mean, that's sort of obvious. That has other biblical precedents, doesn't it? 40 days of fasting in the wilderness and temptation for Jesus, etc. 40 is an important number in biblical symbology. But then if you do some careful counting, you discover that it's actually 46 days Lent is. And you just said it right then. We don't count the Sundays because they are considered sort of mini resurrection days, days of celebration rather than of, say, penitence or fasting and that kind of thing, which takes us right up to Palm Sunday and Holy Week itself. Rick, when you were first beginning to explore Lent and thinking about how to observe it, how to take some of the practices in your own spiritual life, how did you approach that? Did it seem like a foreign concept? Was it a little scary? Did you think, oh gosh, this is some sort of mainline church or Roman Catholic thing? I don't want to have anything to do with it. What was it like as an evangelical who wasn't used to observing Lent, approaching it for the very first time?
I would say that I understood very little, obviously, to begin. And most of it was established around this idea of giving something up for, you know, the next 6 weeks until Easter. And although it made sense, I have found over the years, both in practice and in study and reflection, that there's a lot more to Lent than just this idea of, you know, giving something up for a handful of days.
That's probably what we hear first, isn't it, Ellen? When we hear, particularly, say, the Roman Catholic versions or what we think of as Roman Catholic versions of Lent, we automatically go to the place where we say, okay, somebody's going to give up something for Lent. And then they usually name something silly.
Like chocolate,
yeah,
or Facebook, or some other activity, or spending money going shopping on certain days.
Which I'm not suggesting is not a bad thing to give up. But as Pastor Rick says, there's a whole other aspect or two or three or 70 of Lent that has to do with far more than simply giving something up, right?
You know what? Bob Weber says something really interesting about this. I was reading in his book, Ancient Future Time, just this morning. And he says, we get so caught up in the things of life that consume our energies and our attention. He says, we too easily forget our Maker and Redeemer, replacing God with things and ambition. Lent is the season that does something about this situation. It calls us back to God, back to basics, back to the spiritual realities of life. It calls on us to put to death the sin and the indifference we have in our hearts towards God and our fellow persons. And it beckons us to enter once again into the joy of the Lord, the joy of a new life born out of a death to the old life. So he's talking there about not only putting things off, but putting things on.
Mm-hmm.
Dying to self and living to Christ and having an extended time of focus on that. And that takes a lot of people into what we call spiritual disciplines.
Mm-hmm.
Something important to put on for Lent.
Yeah, which is something I want to talk with Pastor Rick about in just a minute. But first, let me just take some time to say, folks, you're listening to a radio program called Ancient Future Faith. It's brought to you by the Ministry of Epiclesis, an Ancient Future Faith church in Sacramento, California. Find all kinds of information about our church, what we believe, and what is this thing called Ancient Future Christian Faith by zipping over to the website. It's epiclesis.org. That's epiclesis.org. Just before that little break there, Pastor Rick, we were talking about, okay, Lent probably is something people think about giving something up for, but Pastor Ellen was saying, yeah, but you know what? There's also this aspect of putting on in spiritual disciplines. And I heard you uh-huhing. I heard you agreeing, Pastor Rick. That's a concept that's really near and dear to your heart, isn't it? Do you have something to add there?
When I first started out, it was the question, what am I giving up for Lent?
Right, right.
But as I moved along, I realized that a better question to ask is, where am I making, quote unquote, new time in my schedule?
Oh.
The idea is not that I'm just giving something up for the sake of giving it up, but I'm actually creating space to add in or take on some discipline or something more that will lead me into a deeper level of relationship with the Lord, ministry to a family or within the church or within the community.
Well, folks may have heard of this notion of spiritual disciplines, but it also sounds a mite scary, or could be. What do you mean by disciplines? Let's define that a little bit, and then talk about what some of them might be to take on during Lent.
Yeah, when I talk to people, and I've borrowed this from Richard Foster's A Celebration of Discipline, which is a fantastic resource. You know, I encourage people to consider there's four of what are known classically as inward disciplines: meditation, which would be, you know, on scripture or theology, prayer, increased or expanded prayer, so increased in time or expanded in the themes and subjects that you're praying about. Mm-hmm. Fasting, and that's more than just food. We talked about Facebook, which in social media today, not a bad idea to take a little bit of a break. But fasting can be from virtually anything, particularly something that maybe has a hold of us in a way that we feel needs to be broken.
So electronics, it might not just be Facebook. Although, aren't there a lot of people out there you wished would take a fast from Facebook?
Yeah.
I know of one family in particular that asks their children from time to time to fast from electronics. Okay, so fasting, what else?
Yeah, so another of the inward disciplines would be study. Maybe it's reading a book, or maybe it's reading through portions of the Bible. Jumping in with the Psalms or some of the other wisdom literature would be fantastic. The Proverbs, for instance. And then there's three outward disciplines: simplicity, just making time, slowing down, choosing to be more aware. We especially did this as a family during Advent this year, and that was fantastic, just to intentionally live a more simplistic and more focused a season of preparation. Solitude, which is a little scary for a lot of people in our mm-hmm. culture, but just getting away and being alone in the presence of the Lord, whether that's in your room or out taking a walk or a hike somewhere, or just sitting at the park or even a library, you know, you can find a nice quiet place or a coffee shop. Just spending a little time alone to really reflect. And then the last one would be service. This could be intentional, choosing something during the season of Lent to serve, be a part of a different organization or ministry that's out there. Or what I tell people, the RAC, or the random acts of kindness, just being cognizant, being aware of the potential to bless people that you bump into, and making that a discipline to have a heightened awareness of those around you and how you can engage them.
Well, evangelicals out there listening to this, I hope that you're hearing that there's nothing particularly mainline Protestant about this, or Roman Catholic, or any particular denomination, but it's a Christian thing. And there is something to jump into. There's something to grab a hold there for, gosh, anybody of any denominational stripe or non-denominational stripe to think about diving in deeper, back to that word, marinating in some spiritual disciplines, or taking something on during the season of Lent to help us get ready for the wonderful truth that Jesus came and died and rose again. Ellen?
Well, I was just thinking that you mentioned that it's not something that's particularly mainline anything. And I was thinking how far back the observation of Lent goes.
Mm-hmm.
At least by the 4th century, the ancient church was observing something that looks pretty much like the timing that we see in Lent, even in today. We can look back, for example, to the Spanish nun. We think that she was a nun, the woman Egeria, who went on a pilgrimage to Jerusalem from her home in northern Spain, particularly and for the express purpose of walking in the footsteps of Christ during the season of Lent. And a lot of what we know about the ancient church's practice in Holy Week we have because of her writings.
Particularly worship in Jerusalem at the time, 4th century Jerusalem. Before you go on, let me say, folks, if you haven't, you need to Google Egeria, E-G-E-R-I-A. She was, as Ellen said, probably a nun, Spanish nun, who went on a pilgrimage to the Holy Land and happened to be in Jerusalem during Holy Week, and she describes in great detail, in what is kind of a travelogue diary kind of a thing, what she saw and what she observed. And so much about what we know of Jerusalem and worship in the 4th century comes from her. Yeah?
Yes, and also if we look back to the ancient church, one of the things that was part of their practice during this period was a preparation for baptism. This 40-day period was a specific and very focused time of discipleship for those who were going to be baptized on Easter Sunday. We've talked on this program a few times about the process of discipleship, how it could take up to 2 or 3 years in the ancient church of mentoring and learning and growing and understanding the creeds and the spirituality that God draws us to Him. He makes us spiritual and we connect head and heart in our spirituality. And so this period of Lent was a time to really hone down deeply to those truths.
Hold that thought just a second, because I want us to unpack that a little bit more. Let me just pause again to say, folks, we're really grateful for you tuning in to KFIA today and listening to Ancient Future Faith. My name is Chris Alford, the pastor at Epiclesis. It's an Ancient Future Faith Christian church in Sacramento, California. All kinds of information for you at epiclesis.org. Ellen, you're touching on something that I think is really important to underscore when we're having a conversation about Lent. And that is, in the very early church, they would have taken, gosh, sometimes up to 2 or 3 years for converts to be brought fully into the life of the worshiping body. But when it came around to Lent, the few weeks leading up to Easter, that whole discipleship training would have really been increased, right? Pastor Rick, you like to talk about stepping on the spiritual accelerator.
Yeah, that's right.
And that's exactly what would have happened during this particularly intensive time leading up to Easter Sunday morning. And then late Saturday night, early Easter Sunday morning, they would have been baptized, these new converts, after their 2 or 3 year discipleship, and then had their first Lord's Supper communion in the life of the church. So Ellen, when we think about Lent, we need to remember that we're kind of holding hands, as it were. I like to say this, mm-hmm. holding hands with the brothers and sisters who came before us and entering into a similar kind of spiritual space. Yeah?
Right. And I think sometimes too, we think about this term spiritual disciplines, and we think of the term discipline and it has kind of a negative connotation
right,
for
right.
us. Like, we're being disciplined and this is so hard, it's painful, and there's going to be some punishment associated with it. But really, the root word for discipline is the same as the root word for discipleship.
Absolutely.
And we don't become disciples unless we are disciplined in things like reading and meditating and prayer and fellowshipping with one another and giving of ourselves to one another, putting off the things of the self and putting on things that focus us on others, and most especially on Christ and what He's done.
Pastor Rick, you are the pastor of intergenerational discipleship at Epiclesis. And if somebody comes to you, and I hope they will, and asks, okay, Pastor Rick, I really want to try to observe Lent, maybe for the first time in my Christian life this year, these 6 weeks leading up to Easter, give me 2 or 3 things that you think I ought to try. Point me in a couple of directions. What would you say to that person?
Well, I would first encourage them to focus on the taking on aspect. What do you want to add during this time? And then from there, exploring, okay, where are you going to find the time to be able to do that and allow that, like we talked about, to be the sacrificial part, the giving up element. It may not even be necessary to do that. I think increased prayer, focused prayer could be good. Picking themes, topics, just extended times praying for others, for issues and elements that the Lord leads you to. I think taking on reading, especially the Gospels, would be excellent. Or, like I said before, the Psalms, in a more deliberate fashion, perhaps, than is normal. Or doing those things with others could be an important thing. One of the things I think that's important for us to remember is that Lent and the process of discipleship is not individualized. Although some of these things can be, solitude, for instance, can't do that with someone else necessarily.
Right.
But at the same time, it could be very powerful to join with someone else who perhaps wants to spend more time praying or more time reading the scripture. Read together, read out loud with one another. And I think serving is another good area, finding a way to plug in, be it serving in a unique way within your worshiping community or in the community at large. there are a variety of different ministries and organizations that you can plug into and help. It's kind of getting out of yourself, I think. And if you can take people with you, especially if you have children, if you can take them with you on that adventure, I think there's a lot of value to doing life and doing discipline and doing Lent together.
One of the things I like about what you said is this notion of remembering that we do this together. That's been lost in modern church life in a lot of ways in the last few years. We think of it as an individual experience. Mm-hmm. And I guess that's another reason I appreciate saying that we not only give something up for Lent, because I can just do that in my own heart. I'm going to give up fish on a Friday or whatever it is. I'm not going to do Facebook. And I've checked that off the list and I'm done and there I go. But this notion of taking something on and doing it with others really emphasizes the notion of community. You think, Ellen?
I do. One of the things that we have done at Epiclesis for years is to have a specific Lenten small group series that focuses on just some of these things. As Rick was talking, I was remembering back on the two or three times that we've done something specific for Lent with the discipline of Lectio Divina, which is a prayerful reading of the scripture, and we do this together and we're focused. We have specific scriptures that we focus on. Sometimes they're psalms. Sometimes it's a series of psalms that are included in the Revised Common Lectionary. One of these series we did specifically with putting off and putting on, and it was focused on the things that we find in Galatians and especially in Colossians 3, where we have these things that we're told to put off: anger, rage, malice, anger towards one another, unwholesome speech from our lips, you know, those kinds of things. It's a discipline to put those things off. And then to put the things on like compassion, a heart of compassion, and over all of the good things that we put on, like kindness, we put on love. Yeah. And those are particularly special times, I think, in our congregation.
So, Ellen, we probably ought to do a quick commercial for the Lenten series this year, although I do want to get you back on the radio again to talk in more detail about it. We're going to be doing some small groups during Lent, focusing on the Psalms. Want to say just a brief word about that?
Yes, we're using a particular way of looking at some of the Psalms by the theologian Walter Brueggemann. And he finds within the Psalms stories and experiences of orientation and settled stability, other Psalms that express disorientation, and then many Psalms that express a new orientation that we find from going through things. And we're using that as a way to take a prayerful journey through the Psalms together.
In fact, we're calling the series New Orientation, A Spiritual Journey Through the Psalms. Folks, if you're interested in doing that small group series, just let us know. Drop us a line at info@epiclesis.org or find more information on the web. I'd love to have you join that. That all begins the week after Ash Wednesday. And Pastor Rick, you're planning something new for us this year. You're calling it an on-ramp. And the focus for the first on-ramp session is Lent. Want to talk a little bit about that?
We're doing a one-session workshop on Lent, and this is designed for someone who is wanting to learn more, maybe doesn't know or has not participated in Lent before, and also anyone who has that's looking for new ideas or ways to challenge themselves to experience Lent in a fresh way, in a deeper way.
And that's going to be on February 11th, if I'm not mistaken, at 8:45 in the morning. That's also Transfiguration Sunday. Folks, the end of the season of Epiphany. How appropriate then, Pastor Rick, that we do an on-ramp session. I love that name, by the way. An on-ramp session featuring Pastor Rick talking about this thing called Lent, February 11th. So again, more information on the website if you're interested. Well, folks, on-ramp, learning more about Lent, Ash Wednesday, a whole series of Lenten studies and meditations on the Psalms, and then, of course, Holy Week, all of that at Epiclesis. We'd love you to come join us and see it in person. Participate with us as we journey through Lent. Again, all the information on the web at epiclesis.org. That's epiclesis.org. It has been my delight to welcome my pastoral colleagues, Dr. Rick Ashey and Dr. Ellen Kohler, with me in the Ancient Future Faith Studios today. Thanks, guys. Appreciate you taking the time.
You're welcome. It's always a joy to be here with you.
Yep. Thanks, Chris.
So, as always, folks, until we gather again for another edition of Ancient Future Faith, I really want you to be thinking about this. Surely, the road to our evangelical future does run through our ancient Christian past. Until next time, the Lord be with you.
Thank you for joining us for another look at Ancient Future Faith. There is a refreshing wind of renewal blowing through the evangelical church as more and more worshipers turn for inspiration to the rich language and pattern of the ancient church. and they're rediscovering classic Christianity and learning to draw strength from a deep well of time-tested truth and tradition. Want to experience ancient future faith for yourself? Join us for worship at Epiclesis in Sacramento on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. in the chapel at 4600 Winding Way. You can contact us by calling 916-572-9113 or online at epiclesis.org. That's 916-572-9113 or on the web at epiclesis.org.
Christmas is over, right? So what happens next? Well, one ancient future thing about our celebration is that Christmas doesn't end with a whimper or roll quietly to a stop. It ends with a big bang called Epiphany, the wonderful season that celebrates the revelation of Jesus Christ. Join us for worship during Epiphany. And by the way, our Sunday morning discipleship series is starting up, and I'd love for you to be a part. As always, get more details on the web at epiclesis.org. That's epiclesis.org. The Lord be with you, and see you next time for another edition of Ancient Future Faith.